So we're about to start now a whole subject of Yesh Eim LeMikra, Yesh Eim LeMaseiris. So how did we get onto this subject? We got onto this subject because the Torah writes the word Yarshiun. Yarshiun, even though that's the way it's pronounced, but it's not written that way. If you look in the Torah, there is no vav in the word Yarshiun. So technically, it really is written in the singular. The way, however, it's pronounced is in the plural. And the discussion therefore becomes, when you're translating that word, do you go with the way it's written or the way it's read? This is what we call either Yesh Eim LeMikra. And by the way, very curious, how do Art Scroll translate the words Yesh Eim LeMikra? Eim normally means a mother. Do Art Scroll translate this phrase? Yesh Eim LeMikra?
Yes, I'm sure they do. Yeah.
How do they translate it?
I'm sorry. Oh, Yesh Eim LeMikra. Primacy is assigned to the pronounced form.
Primacy. Okay. So we have the mikra, which is the way that the word is pronounced. And then we have the maseiros, which is the way it's supposed to be written. So this is a long-standing discussion, in fact, the big machlokes. We quoted yesterday the different opinions, meaning Rebbe and the Rabbono. If you go with the way that the word is pronounced, in other words, Yesh Eim LeMikra, then Yarshiun is to be translated as the plural. And it means two Dayanim and all the ramifications thereof. If, however, you go with the Maseiros, then you'd look at the way it's written and say it doesn't matter the way it's pronounced. The way it's written is without a vav, and it means the singular. So the Gemara says, have a look at the very top line. Omar Rav Yitzchok Bar Yosi. Omar Rabbi Yechna. Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Yosi now says the following in the name of Rabbi Yechna. Rabbi V'Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz Ubei Shammai V'Rab Shimon V'Rab Akiva. We have a very lengthy list of great Tanoim. Why are they all being grouped together in one list? Kulhu Svira Luhu. They all hold Yesh Eim LeMikra. As mentioned, this is Machlokes, whether Yesh Eim LeMikra. Look at Rashi, the very top Rashi on the Omid. Yesh Eim LeMikra. Bosar Kriya Ozlinon. We would follow the Kriya. We would follow the way it's pronounced, Dehi Ika. That, in the opinions of these Tanoim, is the Ika. Or as Rabbi Yosef translated it, we give primacy to the way the word is pronounced rather than the way it's written. Obviously, this is only referring to a particular word which is pronounced differently to the way it's written. If it's pronounced as it is written, then obviously this discussion is irrelevant. But where there is a difference between the way it's written as to the way it's pronounced, like the word Yarshiun, Yarshiun is pronounced sounding like it's in plural, but it's written in the singular. So then we have this discussion. So Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that we have a number of Tanoim, all of those listed, who all hold Yesh Eim LeMikra. And the Gemara is now going to go through them one by one. So, number one, says the Gemara, Rebbe. We're on the fourth line. Rebbe, Hoda Omron, that which we have said already. We don't need to launch the whole discussion because we already know. Rebbe told us that you look at the word Yarshiun, even though it's written in the singular, but the pronunciation is in the plural. Says Rashi, top line, Hoda Omron, that which we have said already. Yarshiun with a vav, Karinon, That's the way we pronounce it. That's the way we translate it. We therefore say it's a reference in a plural to two dayanim. So we don't now need to revisit Rebbe's opinion. We have just discussed it. Next, Rabbi Yehuda ben Raiyetz. So now, obviously, for the rest of this Omud, we are completely moving off as a tangent, nothing to do with Sanhedrin or Dayanim or anything. Rather, it's a discussion of Yesh Eim L'mikra. So second on the list, following Rebbe, was Rabbi Yehuda ben Raiyetz. So where do we see that Rabbi Yehuda ben Raiyetz holds that Yesh Eim L'mikra? Says the Gemara, D'tanya, Shoalu Talmidim es Rabbi Yehuda ben Raiyetz. The Talmidim asked Rabbi Yehuda ben Raiyetz, Ekra ani, I could read. Now, how are we supposed to translate the next word? Shivim or Shvuayim. This, by the way, is talking about a woman who gives birth. So let's make a brief introduction. These are psukim in the beginning of Parshas Tazria. A woman who gives birth is automatically tummy. Whether or not there was any blood emitted from the guf. It happens to be that invariably that when a woman gives birth, she will bleed anyway. But even if technically there was no bleeding, she still becomes tameah. Now, there is what's called days of dam tome and days of dam toihar. This is a very, very interesting halacha, and it's a big exception to the general rule. What is the general rule? The general rule, almost without exception until this very day, is that a woman who emits blood that comes from the womb, the uterus, that renders her tameo nido min hatoira. It cannot be that dam is expelled from the guf and she remains tohu. There is one exception. What's the one exception? The one exception is following birth. Following birth, there are the initial days, and we'll get involved in the numbers in a moment. There are the initial days immediately following the birth, which she is tameah. After which, there is another set of days, which are called the Yemei Toihar, days of purity. And these days are called the days of purity because even if she would bleed during those days, she remains pure. It's an enormous exception to the general rule. The guf will expel blood, but because she is in this particular set of days called the days of purity, Yemei Toihar, that blood does not render her tamei or nido. By the way, in parenthesis, part of the reason why we might be less familiar with this halacha is because nowadays we don't go with that at all. Nowadays, if a woman gives birth, if there's bleeding, then she is tamei. But at least min ha-Torah, this is the setup. Now, if it's true that every birth has the initial set of days, which are Yemei Tuma, and then the next set of days, which are Yemei Tahara, what are those numbers? So it's quite easy to remember, because it depends whether it's a boy or a girl. Was it a birth, giving birth to a baby boy or a baby girl? If it's a boy, the magic numbers are 7, and 33. Altogether 40 days. The first 7 days are Yemei Tuma. The next 33, even if she bleeds every day for 33 consecutive days, she is Tahu. With a girl, everything is doubled. So it's not 7 and 33, which gives you 40. Rather, it is 14 and 66. So for 14 days, she is Tameah, come what may. Then she goes to the mikveh, following which the next 66 days, if she bleeds, she remains Tahira. So it's 40 days as opposed to 80, and the breakup is 7:33 for a boy or 14:66 for a girl. That is all the introduction. Now, how many days is a woman considered tameo following the birth of a baby girl? So as we just said, 2 weeks, 14 days. How do we know that? And the answer is because in the Torah it says shvuayim. Shvuayim means 2 weeks. Here comes the big problem. How is the word shvuayim spelled? Shin, beis, ayin, yud, mem. What does that look like?
Shivim.
Looks like shivim, which means 70. So if you go with the way that it is written, well, then you'll reach the conclusion that she has to be tamea for 70 days. But the way it's pronounced is not shivim, but shvuayim, which is nowhere near 70 days. It's 14 days. So once again, we arrive at our discussion of yeshem lemikra, yeshem lemikra. So the Talmidim said to Rabbi Yehuda ben Reitz, ekro ani shivim. I could in theory read this word as shivim. After all, that's the way it's written. In which case, yochol, I may well reach the following conclusion. Tehei yoledes nekeva, a woman who gives birth to a nekeva, a feminine boy, a child, baby, in other words, a baby girl, tameo shivim. So she'll be tameo for 70 days. Have a look at Rashi on the second wide line towards the top. Ekroani, meaning Yecholni Likros. I could in theory read the following pasuk, quote unquote, the Tamea Shivim Kenidasa. She's got to be Tomei for 70 days, like a Nida. Why in theory could I read that? Daholoiksiv. Shvuayim, quote unquote, mole in the full. What's the difference between shivim and shvuayim? Shvuayim has got a vav and an extra yud. When it's written in the full, well, then it will be non-debatable. That's clearly shvuayim. But it's not written like that in the Torah. It's written chaser. No vav, no extra yud. And therefore, it could, in theory, be written as shivim.
Read it.
To be read as shivim. And therefore, maybe the halacha should be that a woman who gives birth to a girl has to be tamei for 70 days before she even begins the days of purity. So what did Rabbi Yehuda ben Reitz respond to his Talmidim back into the Gemara? Omar Lohem, so he said to the Talmidim, no, you're wrong. Timei v'tiher b'zachar. V'timei v'tiher b'nekeva. The Torah has given a set of Tameo days and Tahira days with a baby boy and done exactly the same for a baby girl. They are paralleled, although the numbers are different, I agree. But there is a parallel. Both when she gives birth to a boy, there are days of Tumah and Tahara. So too, when she gives birth to a girl, there are days of Tumah and Tahara. And they have to parallel each other. Okay. Ma kesheti her bezocha. Benekeva kiflayim. Just like the days of purity, When it comes to a nekeiva, it is doubled. Remember we said before, a zocha has 33 days, and a nekeiva has 66 days. That's non-debatable. That's clearly written in the Torah. So if the days of purity for a nekeiva are double what it is for a zocha, well then so too, af kashetime bezochar benekeva kiflaim. Just like the days of purity must be doubled, so too the days of tumah must be doubled. And if that's the case, how many days of tumah are there for a zochar? 7 days. In which case, I arrive at the inescapable conclusion, double that, you get to the magic number 14, and that is the amount of days that a woman has to become tumea for when she gives birth to a girl. Why? Because you see that the days of purity are doubled, and therefore the days of impurity must also be doubled. And therefore, you cannot possibly translate this word as shivim. Rather, it must be translated as shvu'ayim. Because if it is shivim, well, I'm sorry to tell you, 70 is not double 7. 14 is double 7. Therefore, we cannot read it as shivim. We have to read it as shvu'ayim. Look at Rashi on the third line. Tomei bezochar shivas yomim. V'tiher shloishim v'shloishes yomim. 33. V'timei benekeva l'shvu'ayim. V'tiher shishim yoyim v'shloishes yomim. 66 days. Kifayim doubled. V'tuma d'yoyledes zochar is shiva. We know that the days of impurity following the birth of a boy is for shiva, for 7 days. Hilkoch, therefore, the nekeva shvu'ayim. Therefore, so too, the days of tuma following the birth of a girl must be shvu'ayim. In other words, even though you're right, the way that the word is written in the Torah is shivim, but we cannot possibly go with the Maseiros, because then it would break the whole pattern. And the pattern has to be that everything for the Zohar is then doubled for the Nekeva.
So, first of all, where does it say in the Torah Kiflayim for the Zohar and Nekeva?
Just the numbers, because it says 33 versus 66. That says clearly.
Okay, and then why? So then, who says that? Just because the days of Tahara are doubled, then the days of Tumah have to be doubled
too.
Yeah,
the Gemara is comparing. Maybe it's a Gzeira Shava or it's a Hekesh. The Gemara is comparing, but the Tumah have to follow the Tahara.
But the Torah Tachlis does not say Shvuayim, and they're saying, well, we're making an assumption or a Hekesh that it's got to be Kiflayim on the Tumah too. Therefore, it must be say Shvuayim. But the Torah doesn't say Shvuayim; it says Shivim. Right.
Doesn't say anything. We agree that the word shivim can be read in two ways. The question is, which is the correct?
And then do they ask them, then why did the Torah go ahead and switch around the reading to be difficult? Or what are we supposed to learn from that?
Then you have a question on every Yesh Im LeMikro. Why did the Torah write Yarshion without a vav? I don't know.
Right.
Every time we have a conflict between the way it's written and pronounced, we always have to ask the question, so why is it written differently? Yeah, I don't know. I have to ask God. Okay, so therefore, Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz said, even though the word, as it appears in the Sefer Torah, is shivim, that's not the way that we understand it. Based on the mathematics, we know that everything that exists by the Zohar has to be doubled for the Nekeva. Just like we see the days of purity go from 33 to 66, so to the days of impurity must go from 7 to 14 and not to 70. Okay, was that the end of the story?
No.
There's the Gemara. La'achar sheyotzu. After the Talmidim left the Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz. Yotso, he then left, umachzir acharehem, he went looking for them. And he told them, he said, one second, I have a very important addition to tell you. Omar lohem, he said to his talmidim, I atem zekukim lekach. He says, we don't need this. The cheshbon that I told you, the doubling, the 7, the 14, the 33, it might all be true. We don't need it. Zekukim mean, well, how do you translate the word? Zekukim means necessary. I atem zekukim lekach. It is not necessary to make the cheshbon that I made. Why? Shvu'ayim karinon. Because the way that it's pronounced is shvu'ayim ve'yesh eim lemikro. What's the difference between the two approaches? The first approach, he was proving it numerically. The double, the 7, the 14, etc., etc. The second approach is, he says, I don't need to prove it. That's what he says. That's why he went running after his Talmidim, and he told them, the whole calculation that I told you may well be true, but it's unnecessary. Why? Because at the end of the day, we certainly know that the word is pronounced Shvayim. So even though it's true, there is now a conflict between the way it's pronounced and the way it is written. But I maintain we always go with the way that the word is pronounced. So you can't ask me a question, yes, but the way it's written is Shivim, and I would then need to prove to you numerically based on the double formula, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't need to get involved in that. Because once we know that it's pronounced Shvayim, game over. We always go, whenever there's a dispute between the pronunciation and the way it's written, we go with the way it's pronounced. And if it's pronounced Shvu'ayim, then it's all over. Finished, so it means 2 weeks.
How do you know it's pronounced Shvu'ayim? Where do we learn that?
We have a Maseiros. We have a Maseiros. So if that's the case, we now can put Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz on the list of Yesh Eim LeMikra. So remember, Rabbi Yochanan compiled for us a whole list of Tanoim, who all hold Yesh Eim LeMikra. Rabbi held that way with regard to Yarashion, and now Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz takes his place on the list as well with regard to the word Shvu'ayim. So we all agree that it's written Shivim, but it's pronounced Shvu'ayim, and the pronunciation wins the day. By the way, according to the opinion, and there is such an opinion, who disagrees with all of this, and he holds Yesh Eim Lemasoires, which means we do not go with the pronunciation, rather we really do go with the way it's written. Like we saw in the previous sugya, there was an opinion, the Rabbanon, who say, look at the word Yarashion. Doesn't matter the way it's pronounced, but it's the way it's written that really counts. So according to that opinion, how do we know that a woman is Tmeah for 14 days after giving birth to a girl? According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz, how do I know it? Because it's pronounced Shvayim. But if you don't go with the pronunciation, rather you look in the Sefer Torah at what it says, rather than the way it's pronounced, what it says, Shivim. So how does that opinion know that a woman is Tamei for only 14 days? Maybe it's 70. What's the answer?
Because it's double.
Very good. The answer is, we have the first teretz, the double formula. Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz initially got involved in the nitty-gritty of the whole double formula, and then he went running after his Talmidim. He said, one second, it's all unnecessary. But actually, According to the opinion that Yesh Eim L'Maseires, it is necessary. Because he would look in the Torah and he would say, oh, 1 second, it says 70. I happen to have circumstantial proof that it can't mean 70 and it must be 14. But as a general rule, he would follow the Maseires. Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz follows the Mikra, therefore he doesn't need the whole double formula.
Yeah, but for the according to the Bandama that says that it's Shivim, 70, because you go according to the way of the Mitzoris, but we know because it's double that it's not, so how does he explain the number 70?
No, so he would say this is an exception to the rule. Even though normally I would not go with the Mikra, here I have to because I happen to have a different proof. But if not for the different proof, if it's just a plain conflict between the Maseiris and the Mikra, he would always opt for the Maseiris. Okay, but Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz says that this cheshbon is all irrelevant because I go with the Yesh Eim L'Mikra. That is now the second Tana on the list. We now move forward to the third.
The Rav asked who does not hold of Yesh Eim L'Mikra.
Well, we know the Rabbonon. The Rabbonon said Yarshiun is written without a Vav in the Torah. Okay. And therefore, as far as they were concerned, that's the very, very opening two words, the top two words on this Amud, or three words. Rabbonon Yarshiun Ksiv, without a Vav. So we clearly know that there are opinions that hold Yesh Eim L'Maseiris, but we're not discussing their opinion. We're discussing the opposing opinion of Yesh Eim L'Mikra. So far, we've discussed the opinion of Rebbe, we've discussed the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Royetz. And now we're moving forward to the next Tana on the list, which is Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai also hold the Yesh Eim L'Mikra. Okay, how do you know? Says the Gemara, because we have a Mishnah. D'tznan. Beis Shammai Oimrim. Kol Hanitonin. What does Nitonin mean? Everything which is given or placed. We know that when a korban is sacrificed, you always have to sprinkle blood on the mizbeach. That sprinkling is always referred to as matonis. We translate matona as a gift. Here it doesn't mean a gift. Really, the root of the word matana is, of course, the word tain, which means to give. So the sprinkling of the dam upon the mizbeach is always called the matanis. How many dam, how many times must you give, as it were, dam to the mizbeach? And we know different karbonis have different rules. So says Beis Shammai Emun. Kol hanitonin al mizbeach hachitzin. Whenever you give dam to the outside mizbeach, shenosnon b'matona achas, if you merely did one sprinkling, kipir, that will bring about an atonement. However, ubechatos, then it's got to be shtei matonis, two sprinklings. Anything less will not bring about the atonement that the korban was supposed to bring. Now, look at Rashi. Kol hanitonim, normally, besides for a chato, says Rashi, if it is an oilo, or a shlomim, or an osham, what's the common denominator between these karbonos? Hatu'unin, they all require shtei matonos shehein dalad. Two sprinklings which become four. How does two become four? Because they're sprinkled on the corners of the mizbeach. So if you imagine you have a box, if you sprinkle dam on the corner, well, obviously it'll sprinkle on two sides then. It's not going to go exactly on the line of the corner. So that's what it means. If I do two sprinklings, let's say on the northwest and on the southeast, then by definition, all four sides of the mizbeach will have received dam. So normally, for most karbonas, that's what you're supposed to do. For an osham, for an oila, for a shlomim, the kohen is supposed to sprinkle shtei matonos shehein dalet. It's actually two acts of sprinkling, but it's in totality is considered four gifts of blood. And what happens, says Rashi, shenosnon b'matona achas. What happens if you didn't do the two matonos? You only did one. Kipir. That b'dievet will be okay. Why? Diksiv, because we have a pasuk that says v'dam zvochecha yishofech. Yishofech is the singular. Shvicha achas b'mashma. The implication is even one spilling of blood will suffice, at least b'dievet. Obviously, lechatchila, you've got to do it properly, which is two matanis. But b'dievet, if you did one, you're okay. For a chatos, however, you've got to do two. If you don't do two, the korban does not bring about a kapara, which means the whole thing is possible. That is the opinion of Beis Shammai, but Beis Hillel disagrees, says the Gemara. Ubeis Hillel oimrim, no. Af pachatos, the exact same halacha that applies in a shlomim and an oila, etc., etc., is also true for a chatos. Af pachatos, shenosnon b'maton achas, kipeir, it will bring about a kapar. So everybody agrees that when it comes to most karbonos, a shlomim and oila, etc., if you do one matana, you're okay. With a chatos, with a machlokes. According to Beis Shammai, you've got to do two, otherwise no kapara. And Beis Hillel says, no, there two as well. With a chatos, if you did one, you're okay. Now, what is the discussion? Says the Gemara. V'omar Ravuna, Ravuna now explains, my timer, the Beis Shammai. What is the reasoning behind Beis Shammai? Why did Beis Shammai insist that whereas most karbonos, if you just did one matan, you're okay, but a chatos has to be two? Says the Gemara. Because it says in the Torah, chronos, chronos, chronos. Chronos obviously means the corners of the Mizbeach. Now, chronos is the plural. Corners. And if it says it three times, so three times six. Two is six. Chronos, chronos, chronos. Hare kan sheish. So altogether, there are six mentions of the corners of the Mizbeach. Now, there are only four corners. So what does the word six mean? Arba le mitzvah. But the shtayim la'akev. Four corners, four sides of the Mizbeach are a mitzvah, meaning that's what you're supposed to do, lechatchila. But how many are la'akev? What does la'akev always mean? How many are absolutely necessary to the extent that if you don't do it, you're not yotze? Two walls of the Mizbeach. So again, how many corners, or rather, how many sides of the Mizbeach are there? There are only four. So why is the Torah referring to six sides of the Mizbeach? The answer is, there's four sides and there's two sides. Meaning, there's two separate halachas. There's one halacha which is the mitzvah, meaning that's what you're supposed to do, lechatchila, make sure that the dam hits all four walls. How do you do that? Like we said, southeast, northwest. That way, all four sides of the Mizbeach will be makabel the dam. And then there's another halacha which says, albeit that it was a mitzvah to hit all four walls, but la'akev, What is absolutely necessary? It's just two walls, which means if I just do one matana, for example, on the southwest, so how many walls of the Mizbeach am I hitting? The south wall and the western wall. Well, that will suffice. So that's why chronos, that's how I get these halachas. Chronos is six altogether, meaning there's one halacha of four and one halacha of two. Four walls is the mitzvah, two walls is absolutely necessary.
But the psukim, as written, do not have a vav. So why is the Gemara using with the vav?
So that's going to be the whole discussion of yesh im lemikro, yesh im lemaseiras, precisely. We have to hold it over here, but as Rabbi Avraham has just pointed out, the Torah actually does not write chronos with a vav. As we're going to see in the next line, two of them are written without a vav. So if that's the case, there's not really six mentions. The answer is, that's why Beis Shammai appears on the list of Yeshem LeMikra. Because even though it's written in the singular, but it's pronounced in the plural. So we'll have to see more of this discussion tomorrow, but at least we'll hit the main discussion, which is Beis Shammai holds Yeshem LeMikra.
So Beis Hillel holds Yeshem LeMisora.
Correct.
In general or just here?
I'm not sure. Okay, have a great day, everybody.